open a cold one, kick back, and enjoy a week's worth of conversation from pop culture, sports, breaking news, and everything in between. Welcome to the Pine Room Podcast. At the beginning of the podcast each week, everyone on the show rolls a 20-sided die. The person who rolls the lowest number then becomes the moderator for that week's show, and it's their job to move the conversation along and switch from various topics or questions that can be found on the moderator's cheat sheet or custom ones they've brought in themselves. If you have a question or a topic you'd like us to discuss, send us an email to contact@thepineroompodcast.com. Well, that's enough of that. Let's get into the show. You're listening to the Pine Room Podcast.
Jeff, you know that guy, Chris Herron?
I do. Why do I know?
He was a basketball player that got...
Yes. He played for the Heat.
Yeah, he was...
Did he play for the Heat?
Celtics.
Okay. Tattoos? Or did he OD?
No, no, no. He didn't OD, but he was in drugs heavy, and now he's a motivational speaker.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah, actually, he's actually a good story.
He would come to... And this is... He's a good dude, and he would come and he would do these speeches, but ever since then... Who was that that says that a lot?
Well, like Kevin Keenan, those guys. He came to the Capitol Theater, and it was us, Lindsley, and Park. No, us, Lindsley, and John Marshall.
Yeah, because he came to Park by himself. Because Park had the amphitheater, and he would come
to
Park.
And he tells an unbelievable story about like getting drafted and like his come up of how he could go anywhere in the country, and he got into drug issues, and he still had drug issues while he got drafted, but his storytelling like has you on the edge of his seat.
I mean, he had to have told it a zillion different times because he just has it in memory now, and he probably embellishes a little bit, but there's a part where he's talking about how that he's like got a game that's coming up. I can't remember where it was. It was at the Celtics arena, whatever the arena is called, and he said 20 minutes before game time or however many, like close to game time, he was outside in the front of the stadium.
It's like 10 minutes before tip.
Yeah, getting oxycodone from his dealer.
Oh, wow.
And he came in and there's this part. He says, they said I wouldn't score 30. I scored 40.
Like talking about. And he said, he tells this one, like, this is what I really remember about when he said, we were in that, we were in the Capitol Theater, and he said, yeah, like, I'm a McDonald's All-American. And like the way he tells a story, like has you like locked in. So he's like, I'm a McDonald's All-American. You get like a little bit further on your seat. He said, 2000 point score. We're like, yeah, yeah. He said, I could go anywhere in the country. And I stuck a needle in my arm. And it's kind of like, whoa. I'm 16, 17 years old, not expecting that.
Yeah, there's like a list, probably a list of topics as a kid that you really don't care about, especially when you're young. And one of those is like Joe Too Cool to Smoke, like the dare shit. Like I understood it, and I think that's part of the reason why I was afraid to like break the law. But his storytelling and the actual way that he goes about that was actually pretty good.
Oh, it was insane.
I think that's where he made a good chunk of his change after the NBA, which I don't know how his story
I know
ended.
He saved lives because I watched him save a life on that day when we were at Capitol Theater.
Oh, God. No, geez. Do you ever know somebody that's like a person in high school or somebody you know that's always the victim, like they're always the victim mentality.
I fucking hate those people.
And they're crying, and it's you know wear your heart on your sleeve, like real. There's a girl.
Did this happen? Okay, go ahead.
And at Park, a girl stood up and she's like, like, so thank you for telling your story. And it was a girl that was a troublemaker, like on always a troublemaker, look at me fighter, and she was crying telling about how like she was and, you know, maybe she was, maybe she wasn't, but telling her about how she had all these issues and drug problems, and now he came and saved her, asked him for a hug, he came down off the stage and hugged her, and it was just so
but then after she did that, like, 15 that's other
right.
people stood up and started doing the same thing.
Yeah, so maybe one of those 15 people had to
probably real.
Action. Yeah,
but then there's the people that just want people to think that they're
fuck them people. Those people drive me.
There was one girl in my high school that I could not fucking stand. And she was one of those people that always had problems, whether it was, there's a reason she couldn't do her homework, reason she couldn't eat this, reason she couldn't do this, reason she couldn't go on a field trip. Like, she always had an excuse, always had an issue. And you knew that she was just some entitled little brat. And years later, I saw her on a billboard for some cause, like some thing, and it just really grinded my gears. I don't know why. It was like,
you didn't think she was telling the truth, whatever the cause was?
Yeah, I don't know what it was. I can't remember what it was, but I saw her and I almost wrecked the car because I was so mad. I was so angry. That's the way I go out. But yeah. I can't stand it.
How's that girl doing now? You like these?
Those are your scrubs, aren't they?
No, they're just like comfy little sweatpants.
Yeah, and they look like jeans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of the new way.
Yeah.
What's Mario's favorite fabric?
Luigi?
Denim.
That's unbelievable. That sounds like Pac-Man a little bit. Okay, I'm not calling you old at all. I know you're like...
It's a good way to preface it.
Stop it. Yeah, we've been recording the whole time. Jeff, was Pac-Man cool when you were in your teens?
1,000%.
Dude, actually, it's cool now. It's before cool my teens. Now.
And actually, we have one of those... That's the looks like an arcade, but it's the little arcade.
Yeah.
I still have that. I think I still have a Donkey Kong.
Dude, they're so fun.
Were you an arcade guy? Like, would you go to the arcade with your friends?
I wasn't crazy, but we were definitely video games. But remember, I started with my first was ColecoVision, which you guys probably have no idea what
ColecoVision. Wait, what'd that look like?
It had like a little dial on it.
Yeah, I know what it is. ColecoVision. I never played it, but
then went to the plain Nintendo, then Sega.
Sega's like the goated one. Like that changed.
Is that
stuff,
the joystick?
Right?
No, that would have been like an Atari thing.
Yeah, Atari, yeah, that's what
excuse me, but I forgot about Atari. I went Coleco, Atari, then Nintendo.
We had a SpongeBob Atari.
Yeah, the Ataris the Ataris look unbelievable.
But I tell you, you hand that to a kid now, they'd fucking laugh at you.
Like, yeah,
what is this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The reason I asked though is because like we went to a bar in St. Petersburg. Remember, it had like everyone was playing darts that day. It's got some of the I forget the name of it, but it's sick. I
forget what it is.
Parks and Rec or whatever. Yeah. It's a sick bar. It's got an outdoor section and an indoor section with a bunch of arcade games.
Oh, that's a good
idea. And I was like, it's fun now, but back thinking about like the videos and the pictures I see of when it was jam-packed and everyone was playing, it looks sick. Like I would have loved that. Everyone's so gaming fun. Together. Like
so much fun.
That is sweet.
Yeah, we do wonder, like my group of guys that I grew up with, we wonder what it would be like. Because that was the fun. The fun was like, and I understand your guys' fun now because you can sit in your own house. But like the fun was, you know, we did a lot outdoors, obviously. You go run the courts at Garden Park or you pick up game of football in the park or whatever. But then the highlight was going back when it was dark and then everybody would be sitting down. And unfortunately, you'd only have one game system. So you'd have to fucking, if you lost, you'd have to sit there for a while.
Yeah, that was he had like an Xbox 360 before we all had one. I didn't even really know what it was, but when he got one. And we would sit at his house and play Rock Band or Halo together and sit in the living room around Indian style on the hardwood floor, just watch each other play. We'd get scary games that he wouldn't want to play or Jarrett wouldn't want to play, so I would play them. And those days, I just remember how fun. And then we would get bored and we put then just run outside and go dig a hole or
clean up a tree.
Yeah.
Do you guys do a lot of overnights? As kids?
Not so much because we lived right next to each other, but when we were younger, we definitely spent pretty much we were over at his house as soon as school was done or even before school and played games. And
yeah, overnights was a big deal back in the day, like grade school and middle school and stuff like that. Like if you knew that, like if somebody's parents say, hey, the guys can come over like on a Friday, like that's what you look forward to all week long and stuff like that. It was so much fun.
That was the best.
Honestly, all the way up through college, I feel like my people were staying at my house.
Yeah, his house was the
go-to.
Yeah, I've been my other friends though, like Tyler Bonar listens to the podcast. Tyler, I stayed at his house all the time. We played PlayStation. Used to play a game called Hitman, and we'd always watch him kill people on Hitman. And thought it was the greatest thing ever. Stayed at Nick's. I know what you're gonna say. This.
Well, I know what the part of this is gonna be, but go ahead. The snacks.
Yes, it was like. And I don't think this is his... I think he had stuff, and I think that probably if I would have went to Sudi, his mom, and asked, she probably would have hooked me up. But Nick would never go out of his way to, like, let you know where things were. And you'd eat old cereal and wheat
thing.
Tell
you there's stuff in the freezer, and it's something like you got to cook.
Like,
help yourself.
Yeah. You're 11 in his house, and he wants you to make popcorn chicken.
Now, do you guys remember it all at a young age? And I'm man enough to miss, like, at a young age, like when we first started, probably your
second, third, fourth grades when you started to spend the night at people's house. Like, I struggled at first.
Oh
yeah, it's terrifying.
I still do.
You're calling for your mom, calling your mom and stuff.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you get to see the other side of, I was very blessed with a household that was very loving and my parents got along, and I'll be honest, they never fought in front of us. Like, if they had their arguments, if they had their differences, it was never in front of me. But then I got to witness some things that, man, enlightened my eyes on, man, probably didn't appreciate it enough at that time because I was too young. Like, I remember one night I spent the night at a friend's house, and I'll tell you what, the parents went at it at fucking midnight, man. And I was on the couch. I was fucking flipped the fuck out.
Terrified.
Flipped the
fuck
out.
Get me out of here.
Get me the fuck out of here. It was crazy.
Like, calling mom. Like, mom, can you come pick me up?
Please pick me up.
Yeah,
please.
There have been some times like that, and I can't remember who exactly, but like a mom and a son or a dad and a son would get into it. You just sit there like, oh,
it's
Jesus,
the most awkward thing
what
in the
am
world.
I supposed to do? Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. And I still struggle staying places even now. I rarely would ever stay at anybody's house at my age now. But just when we were younger, I remember we would stay late. And because we were right across the street, we would kind of wait till everybody would go to bed or it'd be later in the evening. And I'd run back over home and go to bed there.
Some of you guys are okay with... When I go stay places, I have to have a toothbrush and I have to have my phone charger. Some of you guys are okay with like literally just taking what we're wearing now and going to stay the night somewhere. I just can't do
that. I could do that.
Yeah, I can't believe when people do that. Like, I need a toothbrush and I probably need some deodorant too.
My dad went on a weekend trip to a NASCAR race and didn't bring anything but the clothes he had on.
That's unbelievable. I couldn't do that. I'm definitely more of a planner. Like, when I go places, it's embarrassing, but I pack like a chick.
Me
I
too.
Have 63,000 outfits, and I'm only going to wear one.
Are you way overpacked?
When I tell you it's embarrassing, it's embarrassing. And here's the fact of it is, and I'm man enough to, I'm a bigger guy. So just depending on the day, depending on what's going to rock well a little bit or whatever the case.
All right,
may be.
Yeah. 3-day vacation. You're going to Florida. It's a quick Florida vacation. I'd say 4 days. 4 days. You're going to go from Tuesday to Friday. You got the week off.
Oh, that's a ton
reason.
Of clothes being packed.
I'll be honest with you, it truly is.
Like, would it be at least two suitcases?
No, I would know. But here's
how many. All right,
big suitcase
for 4 days. How many shirts?
I'm probably doubling my amount of days.
So eight.
Yeah, that's what I would.
Yeah, that's what I do with underwear.
That's
too.
That's reasonable. And I feel like that's reasonable.
I don't know if it's reasonable or not. Actually,
I do it too.
Well, and I'll be honest. It's funny you say that. So why? I actually seen a meme probably about 6-8 months ago. So you're packing for a 3-day trip and you take 10 pens of underwear. What do you think? All of a sudden you're going to shit yourself on your trip?
Yeah.
Like, it makes no sense whatsoever. But I mean, honestly, I'm guilty.
Yeah, I guess
I think you'd rather be overpacked.
Yes,
than underpacked.
Oh, dude. True. I left when I went to Kansas City last weekend. I was so mad. I had a great carry on packed. Like, we were only there for 2 nights, 5 days worth of clothes. Anything I wanted to wear, I would have had it while I was there in my carry on. We had to leave early. Sammy was taking the car after we got to the airport. It's early in the morning. Like 5:30 in the morning, I get up. I had some clothes left in the dryer that I knew I wanted to wear when I got to Kansas City. So I grabbed the clothes out of the dryer. I put them in my backpack that I'm carrying. I get in the car. I drive to Pittsburgh. We park. She's sleeping next to me. As soon as I park, I look behind me to grab my backpack. Left the carry-on at the house. I get to Kansas City with like a shirt, one pair of underwear, a pair of socks. I made it work. I went and bought some underwear from some random store and white t-shirts, but I was miserable.
I would wear those underwear 3 days in a row.
Ew.
When we came to your wedding, I way underpacked, and I rarely do that. I'll hit it on the nail on the head for how many I need to wear. And if I need to wear a shirt 2 days in a row, I'll wear a shirt 2 days in a row. But when I came down to your wedding, I only packed two pairs of underwear.
And it was hot, so we were like sweating.
So I tried to mix match. So if I knew we were going out walking, I would wear the pair that I knew were going to be the.
You only bought two pairs of underwear?
I had the pair I had on, which I wore the first 2 days.
Oh,
then the pair that I brought with me that I used the
I love it was like 90 honesty though.
Well, because I mean, really though,
I'm gonna be honest though. There's plenty of room for you to just bring a couple more pairs,
and I agree.
I think that's cool. I just go ahead, my bad.
Well, what's so gross about? All right, say we're sitting around now. Granted, depending on the environment in the house, if it's like a hot house, then I can understand why you need to change. But like if it's a temperate house, like your own home, why do you need to change your underwear?
I just feel dirty. I like you sitting them all day, you're shitting yourself and all day. Like
I'm not, I don't.
And then like, especially like in the Carolinas, if you even just step outside, you're sweating.
That, and that's where I hit my problem.
And the fact
that's
that you took off a pair to go put on the sweaty pair to wear outside.
They dried out.
That's,
Joe.
To me, that's just, that's crazy.
That's the number one item I overpack is my underwear. Underwear, then socks.
Socks. I'll wear the same pair of socks for 5 days.
I don't even
I can
that.
Get away with shorts. Like you could probably wear the same pair of shorts for. Yeah,
that's probably legit.
Shorts is like the only thing. I don't even wear the same shirt. Which is, I think that's a little extreme on my end, but
I really don't underwear. Think there's a problem with it.
Like, I'll rock if I still wear a lot of scrubs at home, like old school scrubs and stuff like that, just because they're comfortable. Like, I can honestly say that since I'm only keeping them on technically a couple hours a night, I'll probably rock the same scrubs for 3 or 4 days.
What about pajamas? What about pajamas? I mean,
now if you're sleeping in your pajamas, it's different because technically you're going to rock them because if you put them on when you get home and then you rock them for 4 or 5 hours and then you sleep 8 hours, that's a long time. But
and I sweat when I sleep.
Do you wear pajamas?
I do not. I'm a nude dude.
No, you're 100%. Not. Really?
Completely naked?
Hey, I've done that recently, and that changes. That's a game changer. Yeah, 100%.
Dude, I got to have shorts. I love shorts, no underwear. That's my go-to.
Probably used to be me. That probably used to
when
be
did
me.
You make, when were you like, forget it, I'm going butt naked
probably
when I sleep.
When, I would imagine when her and I moved in together, I would say, somewhere later on in life. Yeah probably.
I don't like... Well, what spurred me to do that, I had a pair of underwear on that were really pissing me off. They were getting bunched up, and I'm a roller. I roll a lot when I sleep. And they were getting bunched up and balled up, and I just was like, I'm not doing this, and I ripped them off, and I slept like a baby.
Did you Hulk Hogan them?
Oh.
That, like, as in, did you, like, just fucking...
Oh, I've done that for multiple pairs of underwear.
What?
My one pair of underwear... Actually, I think the pair that I had on yesterday have a big hole, like, on the... inseam, and they were just pissing me off, and I just went right that, and just blew them out, and then I took them out. But
do you guys have clothes that you, I don't want to use the word sentimental, but clothes that you've just had for a really, really long time that are just kind of mainstays in your it's not something that you'd be rocking out, just more around the house?
Oh,
like,
dude,
like 100%. I have a shirt that I wear all the time now that is literally from the Pinto tournament.
Whoa.
So Luke is 19. I mean, I have shirts like still from like YMCA flag football or his early on baseball that I still.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to get some of that stuff because a lot of that's tied to memory. Now, shirts like this that don't have anything on it, I can throw those.
And it helps when they're comfy.
Yeah, like, they're comfy because they're already broke down a little bit. Yeah.
Where is your go-to spot to watch a game at your house?
Probably the living room, but we are definitely big bedroom people.
Really?
Like our bedroom is very cozy. It's pretty big. So like we will nestle in at 8 o'clock at night, not go to bed till midnight. But like we got a big king size. Like
Which TV's bigger, bedroom or the living room?
Living room. Living room's 80 inch. So yeah, that's.
Ooh.
To answer your question about clothes, Jeff, my Aunt Kim gave me her son's shirt. My cousin Mike, who built our set for the Pine Room. Mm-hmm. He had a shirt that he got in Washington, D.C. It was, oh, my God, they killed Kenny from South Park. And it was like Stan and then dead Kenny, like he's laying on the ground. And I still wear that shirt. I used to wear it when I was a kid, and it was so big on me at the time I'd put it over my knees when I would sit down. I'd put it over my knees, and I had it on 2 days ago, and I'll never... the one shirt I will never get rid of because it's just... It's been here forever.
Well, it's funny you say that, and obviously I've shed some LBs throughout my years, so... There is shit that when Luke was young that really I didn't like because it didn't fit me right. Now does
rock
fit me right.
Now.
So really a lot of the shit like I can rock is kind of newish.
Yeah.
At the end of the day because I wasn't rocking it at the time. So yeah. So there you go too.
Yeah.
Job, I'm trying to find this. You said South Park. It made me think of this. I'm trying to find this DVD. My little sister was born in 2004. So I think this is it right here. The South Park movie from maybe like 2008.
I'm aware.
My grandma... When Gia, it was Christmas in like 2008 or 2009, and like the Christmas was so big at my grandma's house, my dad's mom, everyone's unwrapping their stockings and everyone has so many cool gifts. And my little sister pulls out a movie. Like no one else had a movie, but my youngest sister's the youngest, like treated like she like got babied big time. She always had the best presents, rightfully though. She's the baby. She pulls out this movie and like everyone, it's South Park and everyone's like laughing like grandma, like, what?
You can't get her that.
You can't get her that. And she's like, what do you mean? It's like a kid's show. My grandma's cartoon. My grandma's never seen South Park. It's a cartoon. Like, she sees these little kids and gave my 4-year-old sister a South Park movie to watch.
I've gotten to meet your grandma a couple of times. First of all, she seems very sweet. She's very, very outgoing. But I thought was really, really cute was the day. It was actually a couple of weeks ago. She called you here. I think we were having a meeting.
Oh yeah, she needed something with her
for Christmas. Idea. You're talking about socks.
Yeah, she wanted to know what kind of socks.
Oh, that's fucking cool as hell, man.
She makes the best French toast. I'll tell you that.
My grandma.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Does she still live in Clearview?
No, she lives in. She lives on the same street we do in Mozart, up the road.
Gotcha.
Christmas was a big thing. Our house on my mom's side, Christmas Eve, and family would come over. They still do. It's smaller than it is now, but my grandma and my grandpa, when we were younger, they would bring. My grandma was like a catalog shopper. Mm-hmm. She would get things that not necessarily anybody needed. Her biggest buy ever was the butt face towel. And one half said butt and the other half said face. So you knew which one was designated. So that was a big gift. But I remember when they would get to our house, they would have their entire cab of the truck, the entire interior of the truck was filled with presents. And it would take us 4 or 5 trips to bring into the house. And just stuff that, and my dad still uses it today. My grandma was an Avon lady. Mm-hmm. And that was where my dad every
Super
year
cool, man.
Every year Super my dad would cool. get his whole supply of Avon products like deodorant, shampoo, stuff like that, and we would get toys that would just never. And we got these big electric cars that we drive around the yard, and it was like the biggest day of the year when Grandma and Papap would mm-hmm. run come into the driveway with giant carloads of presents, but. It's since kind of cooled down, and it's a more moderate.
It's crazy how times change, though.
Yeah.
But you mentioned something, because this will show my age. Do you guys remember, and I don't want to say, because obviously there's still magazines and stuff like that, but do you guys remember catalogs?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still in my grandma's house.
Cool. I mean, when you would, as a kid, when you'd get the catalog, and you were kind of, and mom and dad was saying, hey, you know, what do you want Santa to bring in? You were going, I mean, you thought
it was the best. Toys R Us
catalog. Toys R Us catalog.
Oh, dude. God, it was unbelievable.
Jeffrey the Giraffe would be on there every year.
I think it was Sears or maybe.
Sears Roebuck.
Sears or Macy's. One of them was the first to make the catalog smaller than everybody else's.
Okay.
So you know why they did that?
No idea.
Every catalog was the same size, and someone, I believe it was Sears, but it could be Macy's. Someone will have to fact check me. They made it half the size of the other catalog, so it sits on top of the catalog stack.
That's actually
so it's always the first one. Always the first one to grab. Yeah.
Man, I remember looking through those the thin sheeted Toys R Us catalog.
And I would circle what I wanted. It was the best.
Yeah.
So much fun, man. Yeah.
The the Apple had a or no the iDog or the. Oh, what was that thing called? It was this little robotic dog that I thought was...
That was kind of what it was. I think it was called an iDog or
something. Yeah, I remember that one.
And it had a little flat face. Yeah. And I brought it in for show and tell one year. And it was the most embarrassing thing to bring into show and tell because it really didn't do
it. But you loved it.
It just waddled and then barked every now and then. And you had to have an iPod to hook it up to the dog, but I didn't have an iPod. So it just kind of waddled around and barked every now and then, but... It's kind of stuff that
my mom could have been making this up because she's just someone that does that to make you laugh. But she said she either read this or saw someone's resume that had general manager at Toys R Us, a top position. And but then they had other real positions after that, because obviously Toys R Us has been closed for so long. Mm-hmm. But my mom was like, you could literally lie that you had a top position at this company because there's no one that's going to fact check you now. How are you going to find out that?
That's a good point.
You can't call anybody anymore.
Yeah, you can say
that's a resume builder.
Yeah, you literally can't.
Chief of staff at Toys R Us, St. Clairsville.
Yeah, you can't.
Did you guys ever on show and tell days forget something? And they you were the only kid that actually forgot to bring something for show and tell?
We didn't really do that.
I remember doing it maybe once or twice, but I never forgot anything.
Meaning, guys, in that, you were supposed to bring something for your show and tell because they didn't always do, if you had 20 kids in your class, not all 20, you had your designated days.
I'm guessing you did?
You were bummed. I mean, you were excited to show, and then you forgot it or whatever. I mean,
I forgot. I was a huge, and I still am, I forget things bad. I can't imagine what I'm going to be like when I'm 90 years old.
Old and
if I make it that far.
Or what about when you're 30?
Dude, I forget things real bad. It, like cleats when we were younger and my glove and my book bag. And I remember very, very staunchly in my mind, I forgot my book bag to kindergarten. It was the first time I ever forgot it to kindergarten. And I walk in the door and I remember walking up to Mrs. White, who I still know now. And I saw her husband the other day, but yeah, she was fantastic. I couldn't ask for a better kindergarten teacher. And we used to go on vacation with her, but I went up to her and I was like, I forgot my book bag. And I was like, I said, please don't get mad at me. Please. I forgot my book bag. She said, it's okay. And she gave me a hug. And I remember her, when she gave me the hug, something about her giving me a hug, I just erupted. I bawled my eyes out.
Jared's probably over the corner, like laughing.
Oh man. I did do a bad deed in that in kindergarten. I stole a little bear figurine. It was a toy that was in the toy box I stole it. And I put it underneath the steps at home. I know. I never told her about that.
Those are your pearly whites, buddy. I'm telling you, you're screwed. You're not getting through. When God says you the bear that you stole, this is it. Well, he's not going to even say nothing.
Yeah. I turned around and walked the other way. Walk to the elevator. Mm-hmm. All right, this is off the wall. I know we were talking about the past stuff, and I don't know. I'm not too up to speed on this soup. I know you are.
Before you bring that up, South Bend trip.
It was unreal.
Oh, yeah.
It was unreal. Great, great trip.
Did you drive?
Yeah.
Drove. What is it, seven hours?
Six. On the dot.
You got to go straight through Ohio, right?
Yep. Well, you can go a couple different ways. You can either go 711 and then connect to 80 that way, or you can actually go to Columbus and go up, or you can go 70 to 77 and connect to 80 that way.
Is South Bend at the top of Indiana?
More like the middle.
Oh, okay.
More than the middle. The trip was wonderful. It was the only, I guess if I was going to say two Debbie Downers, Coach Freeman does not do a pep rally now every home game. He allows it up to the players if they want to do it. So if Florida State would have held up their end of the bargain and been good this year, hands down, there would have been a pep rally. All due respect, Mr. Cooley. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
So that was a look because I didn't find that out till Thursday night. And then a restaurant that was right on where we stayed at, because we stayed on campus at the hotel. There was a restaurant that was hyped up, completely overrated. On
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
It was what really, type of food was it?
It was your typical, the place is called Traditions. And it's, I mean, they do a game day weekend menu. So I don't know if that's what threw at curveballs.
What'd you get?
Well, one of the things, it was like an Italian, Chicago Italian roast beef, which I love, absolutely love. Like the way they marinated, it's like in an Italian dressing. It's like, it's usually, but it, I think it was just processed meat, to be very honest with you.
Just no good.
And it was like, and not trying to, cause I hate when people talk about money, but I mean, we dropped $200 and the food sucked.
Oh, I'd have been sick to my stomach.
Yeah,
sick,
dude. But outside of that, I mean, obviously staying on campus and you're in the thick of everything. We literally was able to look out our hotel, see the Golden Dome, the stadium was all right there. Being around, being a sports fan, which I'm sure you guys can understand, when you're around all like people, I mean, it's world of difference.
Yeah, you can't. You talked me out of a bet, though. Coach Dale called you like 30 minutes before kickoff.
I know.
I'm ready to actually hammer your spread. What was it, like 14 and a half?
24 and a half.
No, 24 and a half. I'm ready to hammer it. I hear you on the phone. It's just something we don't cover tonight. You win by 40.
Literally.
And I was sick. I was ready to hit this button like this, and I would have been up, and I didn't do it because I hear Jeff Doyle talking that Notre Dame's not going to cover. And I was like, worried. This guy's smart. This guy's smart. So
I was worried because, I'll be honest, it was like one of those trap games. Even though Florida State, unfortunately, hasn't had a great
season.
Terrible. They are
so
bad. But I was thinking to myself, man, it's a big rivalry game. There's such a tradition between those two schools. They're going to come and give it everything they have, and that was not the case. But a couple of different things. So obviously, it was Veterans Day weekend. It was a 7:30 night game. They had two fucking troopers, Rangers fucking land into the stadium.
Oh, that's sick.
Nice.
Super, super cool. And I've seen flyovers and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, all that stuff's awesome to me. But for those guys to be jumping out of a plane.
Did they come down super fast, or was it like a slow?
Well, the problem was it's always windy in South Bend because they're right on the lake there. So, but it was extra special windy that night. So I was a little concerned for those guys, if you want to know the truth. One guy did a really nice job. The other guy took for a long time, and the commentator kept on doing like a play-by-play, and it seemed like it took forever.
Yeah.
He's in the air.
He's coming.
He's still up there.
So that was very cool. The other thing is the light show they did, because it was a big recruiting weekend for Notre Dame.
That video was cool.
Light show was on probably one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And then I think you guys saw DJ Cool. Let me clear my throat.
Oh, no way.
He fucking was there. Fucking, he did his thing, man. That stadium was fucking bouncing.
I was going to say, was it electric?
It truly was electric. Nice. Great, great times. But thank you for asking.
That's cool. Yeah, that's cool. Good weekend. I feel like everybody, especially you being as heartily as a fan as you are, you deserve that kind of experience
every
now and then.
I appreciate that very much so.
But that's cool.
Dessert is an essential part to a quality life, and quality desserts make life all the more better. Had a long day at work and you need something sweet? Maybe you're out late and you need the perfect snack to cap off your evening. Or you're just a dessert lover with a knack for the finest of sweet treats. Well, say hello to the Brownie House, home of the best brownies ever. A family bakery dedicated to baking the world's best gourmet brownies, baked with premium imported chocolate, high-quality ingredients, and no preservatives. No prepackaged, pre-made, fake-tasting chocolate, no. These brownies are made from scratch, shipped nationwide, and delivered right to your door. And starting right now, you can head to yesbrownies.com and use the code PINEROOM, all caps, during checkout to receive 20% off your order. For the best brownies and more, take a trip to the Brownie House.
In other football news that I'm not exactly abreast of, like I was mentioning earlier, and I think, Soup, you're more so than I, and Cooley, you might even know more about this than I do. We've talked about it all day today, and I still really don't understand it. I'm getting a grip on it, but this football shit that's going on in West Virginia high school football, if I'm not wrong here, I'm going to try to break it down because I brought it up. So, their class changes. So schools are being either brought down to a lower class or brought up to a higher class. And I can't remember who exactly started the trend, but somebody got pulled down from triple A to double A or whatever the classifications are. A team that was playing that team throughout the season beat them handily throughout the year, and was awarded the new classification points for the teams bringing down from class whatever to class whatever. They felt like it was unjust that they were being awarded points that the school is now giving based on the change at the beginning of the year.
Correct.
So they wanted the original points that they were going to get from a higher classification.
Correct.
Making sense?
Yep.
So they file an injunction. The points are then given
yep.
to them,
which changes
the entire playoffs. So then a trickle effect happens where all these schools are now filing injunctions based off of that decision
to make it now go back to how it was to start the season.
Correct. So now everybody's kind of in a limbo, which we just received news an hour ago that there is now a postponed indefinitely schedule for the playoffs in West Virginia for high school football.
Yeah, this quote from David Price, the WVSSAC executive director, says, "We are extremely disappointed to not be having the playoffs this weekend. We understand the frustration from all of the parties involved, and we want nothing more than to put the focus back on the student athletes in their pursuit of a championship. However, we must abide by the decisions of the courts and their timeline." That's just, it's chaos, because my thought process is, everyone made their schedules, and I don't know when football comes out, May, June, July, whatever it may be. When that schedule comes out, everyone starts selling their fundraisers. The schedules are set. You then change the classifications before the football season starts after schedules are set. So if you're going to change the classifications, there should have been something right then and there that said, these are the points that you're getting. And that's what they got throughout the entire season. And then at the very end, it sounded like everyone wanted to get the other points that they should have got before the classifications were changed. So everything in my eyes, outside looking in, obviously I can't even imagine how crazy it is down there trying to figure this out. Outside looking in, leading up to week 9 and 10 of the football season, everything was good. There wasn't a single injunction that I heard of.
Well, that's why
we could have moved on with the playoffs. And then I don't know who started this trickle down effect of everyone wanting to file the injunctions, but we could have been playing high school football, playoff football this weekend if all the injunctions weren't set. So
that's what I asked my, I think I was talking to my dad about. I was like, why had this not started at the beginning of the year? Why didn't anybody ever mention anything?
Because now teams start losing and they're like, well, I want those points. And
right.
Look, I don't know if the SSAC could have prepared themselves for this. I'm sure somewhere they could have, but when you're a high school and you start to get a lawyer involved and then you're filing these things and judges have to get involved, if you're the SSAC, you're handcuffed. There's not much can do.
I mean, all they had to do at the beginning of the year was just say, hey, these are the rules. So if at the beginning of the season you were class AAA, that's what you are for the rest of the season. Yeah. We don't care. This is how it's going to be.
I agree.
That's how it's going to work.
Yeah, cool. That's what it sounded like it was like for 9 weeks.
And then not a flip-flop. And now they're, that's what it's screwing themselves. If they would have just said, hey, this is the way it is, we can adjust next year, and we can fix it next year, then it would have been fine. But the fact that they're trying to flip-flop, that's where I think everybody's getting pissed off.
It sounds dirty to me.
That's what I
there's something behind this that said there is somebody with money or that is their little baby boy is on some sort of team
right.
Was going to get screwed. Because I agree with everything you guys just kept on saying. There is no way that you're changing the rules of engagement on week 8, 9 or whatever the case might be. And you can't tell me the point system comes out weekly. So when you win, you know the points that you get.
Right.
Yeah. So like all of a sudden on the 23rd hour before the playoffs, it smells like shit. It probably is shit.
Yes.
And somebody with money is driving.
Jump, you're right. Because
you think about it, you think even if somebody brings this up at the, you know, the issue of, you know, we're awarding this amount of points when we should be getting this amount of points. Even if they bring that up, it should be addressed as if we understand the discrepancy here. We understand what your thoughts are, but you have to understand this was said at the beginning of the year. If we change it now, then it opens up the doorway for all of this problems, all of these problems to occur. So I think, too, somebody involved in, now this is all speculation, so don't think that I'm pointing fingers here like intentionally, but I, like Jeff said, something to me raises a red flag where somebody is saying, is checking a box and saying, we're gonna flip flop back to whatever you asked for because of some ulterior motive.
I would agree.
Well, the job, that's to your point. It says, this says an injunction granted Saturday in Wood County set the playoff ratings.
Wood County, that's what it was.
Set the playoff rating systems to what it looked like before August reclassifications, causing four projected playoff teams to be replaced by four teams that otherwise would not have played beyond the regular season. And Cools, that's to what you just said. After these reclassifications were set, that's when you needed to look at everyone, put out a statement, whatever it was, and say, hey, this is what we're doing. We cannot change it now. Mm-hmm. These are the rules.
Well, but and you can't expect a team or four teams rather to be thrown out of what they were expected to be in and now replaced. You can't expect those four
teams.
They
won their football games. Right. Those teams that won their football games during this season should be in the playoffs.
And you think that, that whoever's making decisions, well, they'll just have to deal with it. That's not how it's going to go. Every single one of those players, coaches, whatever, in those administrations are going to go right back to dispute what you just did.
Yeah, that's it's just wild. And then I read something about playing games, which I'm not sure if those are solidified.
You can't
not,
do that.
You cannot start to do that.
Okay, you know, seem to understand what this is. I don't understand what that is.
Well, so say like there's eight, like for example in the NBA, there's eight teams that make the playoff.
Okay.
But you have the play-in. So now the 11 and so there's eight teams. Now you have the 9 and 10 teams that can play the 8 and 7 teams. So whoever wins those, so like 8 would play, they would play 10 and then.
Seven
would
play.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So now the 7 seed busted their ass to go get a 7 seed, and now they're being hurt and have to go play another game because they want to do a play-in game.
So
they're pretty much playing the teams that didn't make the playoffs to get into the playoff.
So
even though they won enough games to get into the
playoffs. So they got in the playoffs, but they're playing a team that's not in the playoffs for a chance to be booted back out of the playoffs.
Correct. You're pretty much just playing for the final two spots.
You're rewarding teams that didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
But, I mean, the NBA does. I just don't think you can do that in football. It just doesn't. Like, NBA, you play series of games.
Jeff, I think the stink alarm is sounding.
So bad.
Either that or whoever is in charge is just simply incompetent of knowing the repercussions of.
You know the sad thing about it? They're the ones that created the rules.
Yeah.
So that's the part that confuses me.
Yeah.
So if you're the one creating the rules and then all of a sudden somebody's trying to tell you that that's not the rule on week 9 and you are either conceding that whatever you guys set down as a group and set out to be the rules of engagement at the beginning of football season, like, how are you allowing somebody to dictate that change to you when you were the group of people that set the rules?
See if this makes sense, and I want to relate this because I guarantee there are people listening to this that I love have no
what Coach
idea.
I'm telling you, I love what Coach Young says, but they literally, I'm telling you, they're serious when they say, we don't care, just throw the ball out there and let us play. And I think that's how a lot of the teams feel.
Oh, yeah, but
it's still a major problem.
Yeah, because then
it's figured out.
Well, because I would be, I mean, if you're in the situation, like we said, where you're a four of those teams that were going to be in the playoffs and now all of a sudden you're not in it, that's not fair. That is simply not fair. But see if I can relate this to people that might not understand what the hell we're talking about, which I've been in this boat for the past like 4 days. This is like Monopoly. So I'm playing Monopoly and say I'm a team and I have Park Place. And every time somebody hits Park Place or every time we win, we get a certain amount of money.
I think
say
it's $400.
$400. So we get $400 every time we hit Park Place. Now, Billy, he has a Boardwalk, and he gets, I think that's $400 as well.
Yes.
So he gets $400 as well. Well, at the end of the game, we look at Park Place, and we say, well, now, because we changed something as far as a classification as of Boardwalk. Boardwalk is actually going to be awarded $300 a landing spot. So now every time you hit Boardwalk, you actually only got 300 points. So we're taking away.
Job, it's spot on. That's as good as it gets.
We're taking any excessive money above $300 that you hit every time you hit Boardwalk. Yeah. So now Timmy, who was going to win, who had Boardwalk, no longer is going to win. And Park Place, who was getting 400 points the whole time, now is raised above them.
Spot on.
So now Timmy is pissed off at Billy, and Timmy's going to file an injunction saying it's not right that he's getting more points than me.
Yes.
I still think at the end of the day, anybody that has played sports, the amount of time and effort that goes into it, and when you are able to go through a season and do quote-unquote your end of the bargain and win football games, and now you have adults fucking throwing their hands in the mix and truly turning it upside down, and now there's teenage kids that have busted their ass to get to this point and turning shit upside down that's going to directly affect if they either play a game or they're kicked out of the playoffs, whatever the case might be. Once again, adults ruin fucking everything. They really do. Yeah. And once again, I still believe, and obviously I don't know this, it smells, there's somebody with money that's driving this and thinking that their little Billy's getting fucked some way somehow. Yeah. And it's just... Well,
it extends into volleyball too.
I just seen that, yes.
Tyler Consolidated won the sectional game, and then they found out they're getting moved down.
That's insane.
And I think the sectional game in that division where they got moved down to already got played. So now they have nobody to play, and then the sectional they just got moved down from the winner of that. It just
that makes no sense.
Why would you not just wait?
You know what's crazy
just
about
wait
this?
Right. 1 month.
The every comment I read right now on Metro News,
you can't be good.
Everyone's on the same side. Like, seeing everybody on the same side is how do you change something this late in the year? Like, I get it. You're right, Cools. If they would have just said at the beginning, this is how we're doing it. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's not what happened.
I think they did, and someone didn't like it. So yeah. Like, okay, well, how can we please this person? And now it fucking somebody else over. So now obviously that's going to piss people. But if you just laid it down from the beginning and said, this is what we're sticking to, nobody can compare.
Or even now, if somebody came to you and said, that was laid out at the beginning of the year, we're not changing. Because if we change, like every single human being that is visible to this program or this organization understands what happens if we change. Mm-hmm. And for the fact that they didn't foresee the shit storm that would come from
just get through the season and you make the adjustments the next year.
If you don't make the playoffs, if you didn't make the playoffs, you got to deal with
better
it.
Better luck next year.
We've all not made the playoffs.
Yeah, every year someone doesn't make it.
Yeah.
I always am a stickler of this. At the end of the day, it's fucking high school football. We're not talking about people getting paid millions of dollars here at the end of the day. So why change something that's not, number one, not broken? Or if you're going to change it, do it at a time that is not going to have a direct effect on anybody else.
Wheeling Park situation. I would have drove to the state capitol myself and sat in front of the judge and pleaded. Because knowing how good of a season Park had, and then finding out that you're going to have to play this team that is going, that is getting,
was originally going to be the 2 seed.
Originally going to be the 2 seed, but getting knocked back because they had an ineligible player. I'm actually fighting my way to get that fixed.
Especially for a guy that wasn't really contributing at all. It was some backup that really just got in late in like garbage time minutes.
Was this like a grown adult that was playing?
I think he's 1 year graduated.
He was like Carlos from Benchwarmers.
Yeah, like I am 12.
Well, twofold to that. That's embarrassing as well. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's embarrassing that a coach or an adult would allow that to happen.
Right.
And I just got done talking shit on adults in leadership roles. And obviously these guys in the WVSSE are in leadership roles. Have a set of balls and set the tone. The rules are the rules. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. I don't give a fuck who you are. This is what we set out to do. Like, for this to go into litigation now, to me, is blowing my mind. It just blows my mind.
If there's not football, so obviously there's no football this weekend. If there's not football next weekend still, it's going to get bad.
Well, now here's the problem too, also is, and I just think this is incredible. I said on the radio, I said that whoever's above the SSAC who sets the tone for them, if there is a person like that, should say, you know what? You ruined it for everybody else. Football's done. And then you deal with the problems in that realm. It's on your head now. There would be war.
Whoever's in the SSAC had to call a meeting. They had to come together and look at each other and, guys, we are the biggest fucking idiots in the world this year. Because what the hell were we thinking?
And what I was saying, too, is like now if you reverse that now, it's like reversing a call in baseball. I mean, yeah, now
you already made your bet.
Now everybody that's on the other side, now those teams that were in or that got replaced and now are back out and then got replaced again, it's just going to cause, it's never going to end. Mm.
And the other problem with that is, too, you already have, if you make a deep run into the playoffs, it already affects your basketball team because sometimes those players aren't there at the beginning. Now we're pushing it back week, 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. I mean, I know early basketball sometimes doesn't matter, but I mean, you're affecting so many other spots with that too. It's just, it's crazy.
Well, then there's some teams that think that they might have a home game, but if it gets changed now, they might have an away game. And it never ends.
And you think about that too. And obviously it's not about money, but the revenue that you bring in a home game, I mean, there's a lot of money that comes through.
That's the other thing I heard about. It was either an injunction being filed again, or maybe, I forget how it worked, but this team that was supposed to have a home game now was told they're going to have an away game and they have to pay
that's a good point.
Yep. They have to pay for their kids to be fed. They might have to pay for an overnight. They're missing out on the gate that they were going to get for their home. So it was like an $8,000 or $9,000 injunction that they're asking, like, hey, you're going to give us this money now because we didn't plan on having to spend this because our kids were supposed to have a home game. Now you're sending us on the road. It's going to be $9,000.
Like, families who have to travel, who have to go out of their way to go to games now are put out of place. I mean,
and I think it really messes with all the hotel stuff that was booked because the state finals were set for that first weekend in December. It's like December 6th and 7th, maybe. Now you're looking at the 13th and 14th for all the games. So the Charleston business is affected, and yeah, it's just chaos. Just show.
I tell you what, though, if there is a lawsuit, who do they, like, if they sued the WVSSAC, who gets paid? Like, is there
I have no idea.
That's a good question.
I wonder.
Speaking of that, when they say they're taking it to the Supreme Court, what does that mean?
I mean, that's the highest court. I'm assuming they're not the Supreme Court.
No, his dad said West Virginia Supreme Court.
Is it the West Virginia Supreme Court?
That makes sense.
Because I've heard somebody reference the Supreme Court like 3 times now, and there's no way it's getting to that.
That would be wild.
But apparently, Coach Doc said that Sports Illustrated picked it up. They're talking
I knew it that it was going to make national. If we didn't play football, I knew national news was coming.
Yeah,
I knew because this doesn't happen anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, yeah. It's pretty easy to avoid. You just set the rules, and then that's what happened.
If you set that on a whiteboard and said, "Here's option one. We don't change shit. Everything's fine. We assess let it after complain, the season. Let them complain. Or we change this. What are the cons? What are the pros?" I'd imagine it'd
there's
be pretty
no
easy.
Way. There's no way that the pros are higher than the cons.
No.
If you looked at if they sat down in a big meeting, Jeff, and had a huge whiteboard and said, keep it the same, here's everything.
Keep it the same, piss everybody
If it was
off.
A Venn diagram and it was like, it was keep it the same or pros and cons. The you couldn't put enough cons in the bubble. You could, it'd be so full. It'd be.
What do you think? The teams that didn't make the playoffs that are now that might get in.
Well, I'd be so pumped.
You know how pumped we would be
if
we
were change this shit back.
Oh my God.
What about if one of those teams won it?
That'd
be insane. Jeff,
I just got chills. I want that to happen now.
If one of the teams that weren't supposed to get in are now getting in.
Yeah.
And it's probably a slim chance. Maybe. What? I mean, but it's still a possibility. That would be nuts.
That's what somebody, this is, I mean, small town here in Wheeling, West Virginia, but I was in Chipotle at the Highlands and some guy said, yeah, this one team is fighting to get into the playoffs and they're projected to lose by like 60.
Yeah. That's another thing.
I mean, like, how are you? Do you really want your kids to go through that?
It's pretty much like, who gets to get their ass beat? And
that's it. Do you really want to file this injunction to sneak in as the 16th seed, like, to go on the road and give up 60 in the first half?
Like, they have a rolling clock in the second quarter.
Like Gladiator, a guy's out there kitted out in armor and a sword and shield, and you send him out there with a stick, and he's like, is he really gonna? I mean, he gets to play in front of
you
everybody.
You have a team that probably runs four offensive plays: run right, run left, throw left, throw
left,
right,
left, right, middle.
Yeah, you have a team that's the team that's filing the injunction that has to go face probably a college style offense and is literally going to be like 60. Yeah,
let's go back to Spring Mills real quick. So you're saying that the guy that quote unquote was a year that it should not have been there really wasn't relevant to the team?
He was not. No.
So go ahead.
Spring Mills self-reported it. They didn't know that this guy was a man.
Like, Job, you know, you're right.
He transferred him from
Georgia. How do you not know he's a man, though?
Well, I think he was 1 year, like, he just graduated the year before. So, like, it wasn't like he's 25.
So he came back to high school for another year, or he,
as
like...
far as I know, I could be wrong. This is just from what I've heard from a couple of people. But I guess he forged documents, transferred into Spring Mills.
And just so he could play football again.
Yeah, that's,
and still
so
sucked. And it was still
Sports
terrible.
Sports Illustrated needs to pick
that's
that story.
That's the biggest
up.
Loser thing
Especially
I've ever
when
heard.
You don't even start.
Yeah, that's bad. So that makes me feel a little bit better that the coaches
self-reported. Yeah,
no, maybe the coaches truly didn't know.
Yes,
that he was fudging his records and stuff like that. Because if they knew and they still chose to have this cat on the team that wasn't going to help them win football games, they shouldn't be allowed in the playoffs.
He's got like a 5 o'clock shadow with a big beer belly.
Yeah, I'm here, coach.
Does it make it worse? Does it make it worse that he didn't play? Or would it have been way worse if this kid comes on and is like the best player on the team?
Well, it's worse for them that he didn't play.
Yeah,
but
not just embarrassing. Why even do it?
It's
but
worse
like you
for
said,
them.
They didn't know. The coaches had
no
idea. No,
I'm talking about the player himself.
Oh, the player himself.
Like you got to be thinking to yourself, man, I am 19, pushing 20, and I'm on JV.
Yeah.
I'm playing garbage minutes still in high school.
And you think I'm going to be this, you know, I'm coming in here, I'm going to forge these documents. People are going to fucking love me,
fifth
man.
Fifth year senior, I might get a scholarship.
Now, he not only does he suck, but he just ruined the whole team's year.
And now everybody knows he has the old man that played football in high school.
I'm drawing a blank on the movie. It's a military movie. Is that a Jelly Donut Pal?
Oh, Full Metal Jacket.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I can't believe that. So if by chance Spring Mills makes it to the playoffs, and they got to do an overnight trip, that dude's getting soaked. That poor dude, I'll be honest, he may not be able to shut his face. That ain't gonna work very well,
man. Well,
so sad though. It really is. It's so sad that once again kids are on the receiving end of this. They just want to go play football and get rewarded for what they did for the last 15-16
Well,
weeks.
We were talking to a high school basketball coach here in West Virginia recently, and he said, what's stopping them from doing this in basketball or 4 months? If a AA school gets to the playoffs and they said, we're barely going to make it in AA, let's go play single A instead. I'd like to beat up on those schools.
It truly is Pandora's box that has now been opened, mm-hmm. and all these things are going to cascade out of it, and you're going to. I doubt this is going to be the end of that.
Well, I think it's just, unfortunately, the direction that sports is going into. Mm-hmm. You think about from a standpoint of, obviously, they have open enrollment in high school now, which I think is absolutely batshit crazy. So kids can.
Is West Virginia open enrollment? So is Ohio.
Yeah, but not all. I think you have to say that you are. So I don't think every school is automatic.
Okay. So that's not every county.
Not every county. Then you go into the fact and rather you have the NIL bullshit. and I'm not here to get political, but then you have the NFL that... it's okay to kneel for the flag, but then, you know, Boza comes out and puts on a Trump hat and he gets fined. People kneeling for the flag don't get shit. Like, it's just the direction of sports, and it does run our world. If anybody tries to tell me different, that sports, I don't want to say runs our world, but it is a big piece of our world.
Oh, hell yeah.
That tweet said, of course we can't have election, or of course we have to have election night on a Tuesday. It can't compete with Monday Night Football.
Honestly, yeah. It makes you wonder about that, too. It's just...
Well, I mean, it's true. I don't know how many weekly viewers have on Monday Night Football, but...
Millions.
Yeah.
Millions, yeah.
Big business.
It is big business.
Big business. There's probably more money moving around than I'll probably could ever even imagine, but just dumb. And I'm sure this is not the end of it. So who knows? We might be talking about this next week if they set another deal. I don't see how they're going to get. I don't see how they'll fix it. I don't know how. I don't
they're
know
just
going
to have to pick a lane and they're going to have to stick with it. And
yeah.
That's all. But they go okay back to it. The first lane.
But the problem is, though, if they go back to the first lane, more teams are just going to file injunctions and it's going to go to some judge. And then if that judge overturns that, then it's going to keep going back and forth.
Yeah.
Good point.
So, I mean, you're literally in a place where I don't see there's going to be. What happens if it goes on for like 3 weeks, yeah, 4 weeks?
It'll have to be canceled at that point.
Do you think that's honestly could happen though?
No way. 3 weeks, but absolutely a second week. I can absolutely see it not getting resolved until the middle of next week, and then them being like, okay, we're gonna start on this date. But you know what's crazy?
We could do a skit on this. I think it'd be really funny.
Oh, job, we got
to have a big room full of all the teams, like head coaches or staff for a team, and the SSAC is up at the front of this hall, and they go, all right, we could be like 2 weeks later, and everybody goes, or the guy from the SSC says, are we good? Everybody's good. We're all good.
We understand.
Is everybody understand each
we
other?
All on
and
the
then
same page.
Way in the back, like some Work County coach goes, well,
I don't know.
I think we should get into the playoffs.
But back to your point, though, too. So if this committee was in agreement to try to change the rules of engagement, if they go back to the first lane, that means they got to admit that they were wrong and swallow crow.
Which
I'll be honest, it sounds to me a bunch of prideful fucking dicks that are obviously.
But I think
that's
if they
be a
did
problem
that,
too.
I would respect them more.
Me
they
too.
Like, hey,
to say, hey, we messed up. Let's just go back.
Go back. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was never broken in the first place. Let's just do what we were.
It was always a big. It's like a big deal if you make it to. If you make it to a Thanksgiving practice in West Virginia football, it's a huge deal. You're in the semifinals.
It's going to be a New Year's practice.
If you make it to if you make it to your Thursday practice, you're in the quarterfinals.
They might be playing on a Super Bowl night.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, everybody in that room goes, oh,
damn it.
Put your hand down, sir. Put your hand down. Goddamn belly. Belly.
Well, anyway, I think that pretty much ran us up the time here. Unless
time
we got
5:55.
Well, we got some time here. We got more time to talk about some stuff. But anything else you guys want to hit on as we roll along here? I know we got some time.
I'll be honest with you.
We had an interesting discussion the other night, Job. I don't know why I just thought of this, but hall pass. Like, if say you were
right.
I was talking to somebody else about this too, and. So you have it's like your long time celebrity crush. You're married. That crush, say, I don't know, anybody in the world, whoever your favorite is, DMs you on Instagram. Like, hey, I want to fly you out. Come stay with me tonight. Come to my concert.
I don't think it's ever worked that way, but I.
Yeah. This is obviously hypothetical. Yes, yeah. Like, obviously.
Is it a one night stand?
Yes.
Is the hall pass already talked about with your significant other?
That's
what
I'm saying.
Are you calling them immediately and saying, like, look?
That's what I'm. So you've already talked to them. You're like, hey, this is my, like, this would be my dream person, like this celebrity, this person. And this person reaches out to you and is like, hey, I want you to come in here, you know.
What are you doing when you get there, though?
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
Do you get anything out of it, though? Or is it just
it's one
the
night
experience?
If you want to hook up, you can hook up. If you just want to hang, whatever
but
you
what
want.
But what if they, like, what if they DM you and say, hey, Tyler Cooley, like, I was on your page. Like, I really want to fly you out here. And then they fly you out here and they just, like, it was just a gift.
Well, no, but this is hypothetical. I'm saying you're married, your dream person, I guess, your favorite celebrity crush reaches out to put him out to fly you and have sex with him.
Okay, so like for you, it's like if Dwayne The Rock Johnson DMs you.
Okay.
And says, I don't know, Cools. No, yeah, I'm going to say no. I'm not. I don't want a hall pass, and I don't expect my significant other to give one back. Do you?
No, no, that was my stance. As I said,
who was on the other side for one?
No, I know. There was Job's a caveat
like,
to that.
Job's like, please, no, it's Jack Black.
There was a caveat to that. I said that if there's a monetary value attached to that, so like if you come out and they say, you know, we'll give you $1 million as well for coming out here. Well,
that's not part of it.
You're
just flying out one day.
No.
That's it.
Absolutely not. No. Well,
couple things. I'm as ornery as they come. I probably talk about women more than I should, and I do it in front of my wife because she doesn't give a fuck. But at the end of the day, there is, in my opinion, and this is the cheesy side, and I hope people would, there's a lot of people, unfortunately, that don't look at marriage as the way that they should. I'm on the other side of that. If you take that vow and you are serious about it, and even if it gets to the point from a standpoint that the relationship isn't good, and you know that maybe it's not workable, then really you should be honest with each other. And the fact of matter of, you know what, before you go and stick your dick in something that you really should just be honest and cut it off.
Yeah.
Cause there's a lot, especially when you throw in obviously emotions, you throw in kids, you throw in all that kind of stuff. And that shit fucks up people's households. It fucks up people's lives.
Oh, bad.
I just think at the end of the day, it's not, but I understand the hypothetical. I mean, obviously it'd be really cool that
Would yours be? Not that you go do anything, but who is your celebrity crush?
I don't know if I have like one celebrity because I love beautiful women. Like, I mean, I'm sure we all do, but like
Alyssa Milano,
she's smoke show, but she's too fucking liberal for me. But I mean, I think at the end of the day, I think when you have, let me ask you this question, Soup, since you're married,
yes,
are you able to walk down a street and look at Sammy like, oh my God, that chick is hot? And
yeah, we'll probably both agree on it.
That's what I'm getting at. So I have that relationship too. Like a lot of times the wifey's picking out a hot chick and saying, hey, look at her.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that you're right about, like the vow and like just being together. Like you
there's
don't.
Special
yeah, there's something special. Yeah. And you can have those conversations, but I would never, even thinking about it makes me sick.
And it's like it's like the SSAC. We have the thing. We have the up on the board. What pros do you get other than the one experience? I mean, think of the list of pros on the one side. I don't think I would not. If there was a monetary value involved, then we would. Then would there be discussion to be had? But
yeah, just to be clear, I have the same stance as you. I just don't.
No. But I think it's a great hypothetical. Here's the next question. So right now, one of the big things, and not that I know this
is now, this is insane. I know where you're going.
Oh, like open relationships or the fact of the matter.
I think you work so hard with your partner to be able to respect each other and find out what each other likes, and then you bring someone else into the picture. I mean, like in our fantasy world, maybe it's like, wow, this is awesome. But there's five people involved.
It works for some people.
The way I feel. Like if it doesn't affect my day to day, and that's what makes your relationship, you fucking
yeah, it might just, really work.
I just don't understand.
Better man than me.
I don't really understand it though. There's this part of me. I don't think I'm very possessive as far as like Hannah goes. Like I'm not. I don't tell her what to wear. I don't tell her where she can go. But I'm also, I am possessive to a degree where I don't want anybody else in the same ballpark that I'm in. That feels like my territory.
What about if
bad as that sounds, I'm not some fucking asshole.
Is it my territory like he's a dog?
I'm not. But like that's. And same thing for her. And she's way more. She's aggressive. She's like, don't you fucking get the fuck out of here.
I respect that.
But yeah, and back to what I said. Sorry, Hannah and I have both talked about the monetary value. I'm not saying this is myself solely. Just so you're clear, I don't want you to think that I'm some dickhead that would just.
Say it with your chat job.
Yeah, how much money?
Built in excuse.
How much?
We've had the conversation. Her and I had the conversation.
How much money on the table for it to be like, hey, we got to talk about this?
I think we were talking about. I think we were talking about because Rod Wave happy was meal. Coming into town.
It's like a happy meal.
Hers is Rod Wave.
Well, no, but that was just an example because she was Rod Wave was like coming into
fucking
town or something.
Rod Wave.
No, I think he had a concert in Pittsburgh or something. Okay. And I was like, what if Rod Wave was like, you know, I saw you out in the crowd out there. I want to get it on. And
sounds like a movie.
And Hannah was like, well. Do I get anything out of it? And I said, well, if you get money out of it, that's all you go do it.
How much for you to let her hook up with another man?
I think we were talking well over well over seven digits, like tens of millions.
Tens of millions?
Like 10 million.
Oh,
Jesus. Job, if she gets on the phone and I say,
that's a game changer for life.
Right.
I'll say this, though. If it's Rod Wave, she deserves that money.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know who that is.
He's like he's 5'5", 350 pounds rapper.
Big rapper.
Yeah. Oh.
Job. She like gets on the phone
Luke
and
Bryan
says,
or like Morgan Wallen.
Yeah, I don't think it was something that she was very like excited about.
Yeah, like
it would be more of a chore.
I'd be like, if it was someone attractive, good I luck. Might be like, oh man, I don't know about this one.
Now, are you guys jealous people when it comes to the female side?
Not.
I would say a healthy jealous, not like.
Give me an example. Like,
I definitely am. I feel like,
yeah. I'll be honest, I have a hard time giving an example because I truly don't have, and I know probably people think that I'm full of shit. I have not 1 ounce of jealousy.
But as far as what? Like,
guys, and if you were, because I was going to get, if you were in a bar, and it's probably hard for you guys, I mean, probably more for you because you're married now, so that commitment's there. I mean, all due respect, you could walk away tomorrow because there's no commitment by law.
Yeah.
And obviously, you're not there yet either. But like, to me, there's nothing more, in my opinion, this is really dumb, attractive if somebody's trying, shooting their shot.
Facts.
Shooting their shot. And I know, I'm when I tell you 1,000% that my wife would not react to it, I feel very comfortable with that. Or the fact of the matter, if somebody comes up and says, you know what, hey, dude, Sammy's really hot. To me, like that, like is a compliment.
That makes me like, all right.
A lot of dudes that they're not cool with their own skin, or their relationship isn't strong enough to withstand those types of situations. Like, yeah,
I like when she's at the bar with all her friends and she says like, these guys are trying to buy our drinks. I'm like, please.
That's what I do.
Get the drinks for free.
Yeah,
so our credit card is not being spent.
Yeah, Hannah was doing something and she was like, yeah, some guys were buying drinks for, the group, the girls that myself and the girls. I was like, fuck yeah, good job. Yeah,
play that game.
Yeah.
Play that
she
game.
She said she got, I think it was last night, she went to Taco Bell and the dude that was at the window, she pulled up and she goes to hand him his card and the guy goes, no, it's on me, and gives her free Taco Bell. Fuck
no
yeah.
No brainer.
Getting hit on in the Taco Bell drive-thru, that's a different type of...
That is a new level
That's
shit.
A different type of... That's just
I don't
like,
know if I agree with his move there, though. That's not a very good one.
Yeah, because you're not going
to
get a number.
Did he at least try to get a number or something?
I don't know.
Man, that's just free food.
And you'll never see it again?
If I start seeing Taco Bell come around a lot more, then we might be a problem.
I think the Taco Bell guy and Hannah have the same relationship as me and the garbage dude that comes down our lane, because that guy, I tried to help him with the garbage. He said, nah, let me do it. Huh. And he just dumped the garbage in the truck. So
probably because he doesn't want you fucking it up.
I think the garbage guy was hitting on me, and I think the Taco Bell guy was hitting on him.
Right. Are you, what if there's a monetary value with the...
10 grand, count me in.
Oh my God.
You could flip my garbage anytime you want.
Yeah, but I agree. One of the big things for Hannah was when we were out and about, and her, like, the ability for her to be able to carry on a like conversation with you guys and me not, I have no worry in the world, but her being able to go around and socialize like a normal human being, whereas other guys that I've seen are like hawk, like helicopter,
so
always
dumb.
Around. I think that's really
dumb.
Gross. Yeah. I think that's gross.
Insecurity.
That's Cooley.
Cooley's
fuck.
Yeah, Cooley used to be
so
like
when
that.
You guys think we ought to be some fucking creep.
Do me a favor, though.
You're not a creep. He would make his rounds.
Define healthy jealous.
Me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
Here's the deal. You shouldn't be apologetic. That's the way you feel, and that's okay.
I think I wouldn't be like, oh, like she's fucking talking to him, I'm gonna lose my shit. But like maybe if like an attractive guy is talking to her, you might be like, oh, like I don't know. That's kind of hard to come up with
an example
on the spot.
This is obviously a joke.
No, I'm not like the kind to be like, oh man, she's gonna go cheat. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm assuming if you see her making out in the corner.
Oh yeah, that's another job. Yeah. That's not jealous. That's called let's go outside and wrestle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, we were at what's the lake? We were at Deep Creek for my cousin's bachelor party and his wife's bachelorette. So like everyone was there, and we were at this bar called Honey Honey, and it was in the middle of the summer. It was packed. And like, we're outside running the cornhole tables. Like, I haven't lost like 6 or 7 games and I'm feeling it. I don't even know how many in we were at that point. And my little cousin comes running up to me. I mean, she's not little. She's 21 years old. And she's like, Brian, like, Sammy's getting hit on at the bar. Like, this guy's like trying to get her number or something. And I told Jade, I was like, tell Sammy to get a drink out of it. Sammy then comes up to me and says, like, this guy's trying to get my number. And I'm like feeling it on there. I said, Sammy, go tell him to get over here and challenge me in cornhole. Whoever wins gets to take you back. Which was obviously like a joke, but that was like,
yeah, I think I agree with that.
Cools.
Yeah.
I can see you being
But here's what I would say about Jub. You can ask Sadus. Jub always has the wrong opinion of me. Like, the way he describes me to people is so far from the actual truth. It's insane.
Name one.
Like, there's one time Jub's like, yeah, I've seen you talk to girls. You're always like, sup. Like, I've never once,
never
in my life done that to
anybody. We were in at your wedding, and some girl was at the bar with us, and we were talking to her, and it was later in the night, and I was standing with somebody, and he came walking up, and the girl was to my left, and he walks. Oh my, it was Generations. I've talked about this before, and he walked up there, just goes, "What's up?"
Cools. Never done that.
Cools. Tell Jeff about at Tequila Cowboy what that one girl said.
No, we're gonna.
Cools.
See, this is what Soup does.
Cools. This is hilarious.
This is why I'm getting upset here. Because for one, Jeff paints a picture of me that is so far fucking.
And I bring up things that are funny in your life.
No, Soup brings up the most embarrassing story.
This is hilarious.
For you, but not for me.
Tell him. Right. Tell him what happened.
This is a while ago, just to be clear.
This is messed up.
I was hanging out with this one girl. I met her out at Tequila Cowboy, which is a bar in Pittsburgh. And I went to go get a drink. I was coming back, and I can read lips really well.
Yes.
Like, if you ever talk to me, you can tell I'm reading lips. And like, from a distance, I could see her friend tell her, you can do better than her. Oh. So I just gave her a drink and I walked away.
Oh my god.
Okay, this is true also for him. Dude,
that is so messed up.
This is true also for him. He is a guy that if that happens to him, he will make it a point to never speak to those people ever again.
Yeah, I feel like I set pretty good boundaries for the most part.
Because I'm pretty sure Hannah's friends all said the same thing.
But you don't have to respect that.
They did.
You have to respect those boundaries 100%. Actually, that leads to my next thing. So you already answered. Have you guys ever bought a girl a drink in a bar that you were trying to pick up?
No.
Not like someone I didn't know beforehand.
I never fuck that. No, ever, ever. No. Have you, Sue?
I don't think. No, definitely no.
I've had girls ask me to, and I'm like, no.
Yeah, fuck that.
Like, I don't even know your name yet. Why the hell would I ever buy you a drink?
No, not when I tell you.
I probably won't remember it anyway.
I definitely haven't.
I was just too afraid.
I was thinking. I never got to that point. Sammy and I started dating when we were 15. We took a break when we were both 22 for like 4 or 5 months. I went to a bar with these guys a couple times, but I was in such a slouch, like everyone was buying me drinks because I was down bad. Yeah, I definitely wasn't buying another girl a drink.
I have a problem buying everybody else drinks.
Dude, Jeff, at our wedding, this is the first, so the wedding was on a Friday and we went out, the wedding was on a Friday. We went out like on a Wednesday or Thursday. Jub, like, he bought one round, I think it was like $15 or $20. He started to feel it, like he was pretty drunk, and he went over to buy shots, and I was just laughing at him buying shots for everybody. They give him the receipt, and he's like feeling it now, sign it, slides it back. I look down, 10 shots, like $90. He did not think anything of it. I was laughing so hard. I was like, he's gonna be pissed when he sees his debit
card. I think
card.
I get that from my dad. Like, once I start to get drunk, I just like to give everybody things. And we did an Irish car bomb and got shots. And I'd never do that if I wasn't drinking, but I have a problem giving my friends things when I get revved up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
happens.
That's funny.
But Cools is just a creepy, mean, possessive piece of shit.
Apparently I'm just some ugly freak that you guys hang
out. I think you're actually a pretty good dude, Cools. I don't care what the people say about you.
I think so too.
And actually, guess what, Cooley? Yeah, fuck them. They can go fuck themselves. Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully you enjoyed this episode 135 of the Pydron Podcast. Mm-hmm. 136. One of those. We're in there. Up. Who knows? But just like the SSAC, we'll see you here next week. Close. We'll be talking to you.
That's a really good close.
Final thoughts, Jubb, on when there is high school football in the state of West Virginia.
At least the week after next.
So you don't think next weekend?
No.
Wow. So you think so that gets into Thanksgiving is the first week of football?
No, it'll be the next week. It'll be after next week.
Dude, people will riot if there's no football.
Because I literally don't see a world where it gets solved because it's just going to go back and forth. I don't see a world where it's going
to
get solved.
They're going to have to do the play-in games.
No, absolutely not.
All right, your thoughts.
Next week. Cools. I think by next week.
Next week?
I do.
I think it's going to happen next week. It's not that hard to solve, in my opinion. You pick one fucking lane, and you stick with it, and let's play football.
But I don't think...
Would the schools accept it? I don't know.
That's the problem.
But here's the thing. The schools that are complaining, you're going to get your ass beat by 60 anyway. Do we seriously need to keep doing... Just wait for next season to adjust.
Well, let's that's... Who was the one who did it again?
Well, the first one was Wood County.
Bums. And where are they from? Are they any good?
I have no idea.
I'm assuming not.
I don't know.
You just had to ask, where are they from and if are they any good?
So that's probably my answer. But that's the thing. They could be a poop team that wants to just get into the playoffs, and that's all that matters. So this could happen for...
Sure. You do it next year.
But the problem is, Cools, it's not up to the SAC. The SSAC could say...
It was up to them. Now it's up to the courts.
I understand that. So the SSAC could just say, you know, we're going to stick to one set of rules, but it's not up to them whether or not it gets taken to a court.
It should just be they go back to the original rules. The schools handled us in a mature way and just say, look, everybody messed up here. Let's wait till next year to adjust.
You guys think next week?
Next week for sure. Yeah.
You know what I think? Cancel it all.
Can you imagine if that happens?
Is that what you think or is that what you want?
I could see it getting to a point because, like we said, if we get into Thanksgiving and then beyond, in other seasons start, it's like basketball. You're in the heart of basketball season then.
Do we know any truth behind Spring Mills not being allowed to play in a championship game?
I don't believe that.
Okay.
Let's not spread rumors.
Sexy
son of a bitch.
All right, we got to get out of here. The Pine Room, episode 150, 138, whatever. Thank you for joining us. Myself, Jeff, Cools, Soup. We'll see you here next week, and enjoy.
Peace.